Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God, plain and simple, humbly coming before you guys in the throne of grace. I just want to say thanks to God who have allowed me this opportunity to come before the people of God as we lift up the name of Jesus, praying unto God, the author and the finisher of our faith. I just want to thank God for allowing me one more time to come and join together to fellowship in love one with another, the body of Christ. A household of faith. Each one of us has a part to play. God saved us to be a working, willing vessel. God has allowed us this opportunity. And I want you to know that it's a privilege and it's an honor that God has set aside this time for us. It is a delight to come before the people of God Wednesday after Wednesday, lifting up the name of Jesus. And for that, I thank God. And I thank each and every one of you who called back week after week to hear the word of God. I have a call on the line has already pressed the one button. And I love that. And I want you to know, caller, your number is area code 915. Soon as we open the doors and have gone to the throne of grace, I will open the line and let you speak what God has given you to say to us on tonight. At this time, our lesson is coming from the book of James. We're going to be in the second chapter. We're going to expound on the 14th to the 26th verse. And I ask each and every one of you, if you had time to read their entire chapter, God is in the blessing business, and we have to put in the work. So at this time, I'm going to play a song is appropriate for us tonight that will coincide with the lesson. And we're going to hear the song, and I'm going to ask someone to lead us in prayer. And maybe the caller who has the one button press can do it. We'll find out. But I'm going to play the song that I think is appropriate for our lesson on tonight. Be prayerful and be blessed.
If I were a writer, I would use a pencil. A prolific dissertation. If I was a speaker, I would use my hands. If I were a potter, no matter.
Oh, people of the Lord, have mercy.
yes, I'm a believer. I use everything. Come on, real big.
Make a joyful noise.
Unto the Lord, all ye people. Ooh, oh, oh, yeah. No matter who or what we are, we must praise. Oh, yeah.
Let
us be
the
Lord. Let us be the Lord. Let us be the Lord.
Was a singer, if I was a drummer, if I'm a truck driver, whatever I do, he said the gifts that God has given us, we should use them as praise unto God. Hallelujah. It lines right up with the word of God on tonight if you read it. And we all have to give God the praise, the glory, and the honor because he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy. At this time, I'm asking that someone come and lead us to the throne of grace. Check with the caller who called on the line and see what he is asking or what he's saying to us, and then we'll go into prayer. Caller, your number is 917-412. Your line is open.
God bless you, woman of God. It's an honor to come on the line, and I'm going to lead you in prayer tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you right now for this broadcast. Thank you for this opportunity. I pray, Father God, that lives would be saved, healed, delivered, and set free. Signs, wonders, and miracles would occur, God. I thank you for the host tonight, Father God, and all the listeners, God. I pray that the word of God would minister something, God, that would touch, that would transform, that would bring forth deliverance, that would bring forth peace, that would bring forth hope, God. I thank you tonight, Father God, and bless you tonight, Father God. Believe you tonight. With you, all things are possible, God. And as we pray and join our faith, we can expect to see a difference. We can expect to see a change. We can expect to see manifestation and demonstration, Lord. And we thank you tonight, God, that your word will come forth mightily. We bless you tonight in advance for what you're getting ready to done and for what you have already done, Lord, because with you all things are possible. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And earlier, Mr. Coleman called and asked for prayer for his niece, Shamika Alexander. And I'm going to ask our prayer warrior, Elyria Mackey, to pray for her. But if anyone else have a prayer request, if you press the one button on your phone, I'll open your mic, and you could give us the prayer request. And when the prayer warrior goes to the throne of grace, your prayer will be included. So if anyone besides the request for Shamika Alexander, you could press the one button on the phone. I also want to ask prayers for the family of Sister Margie Moses, who I had asked for prayer, and since then she has passed away. But we realize once we are praying for the person that's alive, and once they die, we pray for the family because they need the strength now. But Margie Joseph family, the Mitchell family, the Moses family, and if anyone else would like to have prayers lifted up, you can press the one button on your phone at this time. If nothing is asked for, I'm asking that Elyria, Minister Elyria Mackey, come to the throne of grace, interceding on the request that has gone up. Elyria Mackey, your mic is open.
Thank you, Lord. God, we come lifting up, oh God. Shamika Alexandria, oh God. We lift up the Moses family, the Joseph family, the Mitchell family, oh God. God, we thank you, Lord, because we can stand on your word and your promises, oh God, because your word is truth, oh God. And you said you heal all manner of sickness and diseases, Lord God. God, we come right now to ask that you would touch the minds and the hearts of your people, oh God. We pray for the whole household of faith, Lord God, everyone that's standing in need of a breakthrough, Lord. We ask that you would touch right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we ask that you would call those things that be not as though they were, as your word declares. And you said, oh God, great is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you said, if we believe, he that cometh to God must believe and believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we come diligently, Lord, day after day, seeking your face, crying out for your people, crying out for our land, crying out for their lands, crying out for the nations, oh God. God, we ask that you would touch right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, those that I have lifted up to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would move in the midst of the storm, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I thank God for the prayers that has gone forth. Thank you so much, Brother Coleman, and our prayer warrior and intercessor, Elyria, Minister Elyria Mackey. Y'all, you know, because it's never too much prayer. If you never knew before, you know that this is praying time. Our nation is upside down, not just our nation, but the nations all around the world. There's sickness all in the land. There's a pandemic going on, and there's injustice, and there's brutality, and there is just anything is going on. Men are doing whatever seems right in their own eyes, and they're doing it the way they want. They present stuff to us that is wrong and want us to accept it as right, and things that are right, they want to make it look like it's wrong. But we have to hold on to the confession of our faith. We have to hold on to God's unchanging hand. We have to leave. We have to allow the Holy Bible to be our moral compass. We have to just look to God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because if you don't, you're going to be sift like wheat in a time like this. But God is able. God is faithful. And God is in control, total control. And he has your best interest at heart. Trust him. Believe him. Depend on him. And wait for your change to come. In the mighty name of Jesus. Our lesson tonight is coming out the book of James, the second chapter, the 14th through the 26th verse. And the book of James is written by James, a half-brother of Jesus Christ. Jesus' brother James didn't believe on Jesus as he walked in his ministry for 3 years upon the earth. James didn't believe that Jesus, his brother, his half-brother, was truly the Son of God till after Jesus had ascended. Well, before he ascended, after he had risen, before he ascended back to heaven, he met his brother. He had a talk with his brother. And then his brother believed. That's beautiful. So James wrote a book in the Bible, and it's called the Book of James. And the title of our lesson tonight is Faith That Works. Faith That Works. When I say that, it made me think, so is there faith that don't work? Well, we're going to figure it out tonight as we explore the Word of God. And y'all know I always do a little background, but I'm going to do it on faith. You see, whenever we are wondering about faith and what it means, we often go to Hebrews 11 and 1 that state that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And if you want me to break it down into most simple terms, either you could say that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, this is saying that faith is something that we trust and believe in and put our faith in. Even though we can't see it, the Bible says, blessed are those who have never seen and believe than those who believe. But we use the Word of God, our holy instruction for our daily living, to help us and guide us that we may believe. Hallelujah. We take the Word of God that's written. We believe the Holy Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's not that you understand it all. It's not that you comprehend it all. But you believe it because the Word of God say it, and you believe that God, when he chose them 40 men from all walks of life, when they was inspired by God, they wrote what God wanted them to say. And tonight we expounding on the Word of God, and we pray that it don't return void, that the Word that God has given us on the night by the Spirit will accomplish what it set out to do. You see, no other component in our lives as Christians is more important than faith. And I want to tell you something about faith. We cannot purchase it. We can't get it and sell it. Or we can't even get it from our mama, our daddy. It's a one-on-one personal thing. And when we get it, we can't even give it to our friends. So what is faith, and what role does faith play in a Christian life? You see, the dictionary defines faith. I'm talking about the ordinary dictionary. Defines faith as belief in, devotion to, or trust in somebody or something without logical proof. You see, many people have placed their faith in people, places, or things, but we must realize that our faith as Christians should be placed in the only true and living God. You see, many times we place our faith in man. Y'all know what happened. A woman meet a man. He never proven himself. He didn't give respect. She gave it to him, and now she got her faith in a man no matter what he say or how he do it. That's just one example, but I mean mankind. See, many times we place our faith in man, but the Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and 5, for those who have your paper and pencil, Jeremiah 17 and 5, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and make flesh his strength. And flesh is described in the Bible as the world. So the things of the world, the money, the job, the prestige, the title. Curse is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turn away from God. Even the World Dictionary says it's belief in God, doctrine of religion based on spirituality. Hallelujah. With no proof. You see, the Bible has much more to say about faith and how faith is. In fact, it is so important that the Bible says without faith, we have no place with God, and it is impossible to please him. You know, it's written in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse. It says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whosoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. According to the Bible, faith is belief in the one true God without actually seeing him. And the Bible tells us, you know, if you could see it, you don't need faith. Isn't that amazing? Everything we see, we could see for what it is. And God has given us the way to have faith in what we can't see. If you could see it and touch it and feel it and taste it, you don't need faith. Faith comes in when things you can't see and yet believe. Where does faith come from, someone might ask? Faith is not something you conjure up in your own mind, nor is it something that you are born with. Nor is faith a result of diligent studying. I want to tell y'all that. Now listen to this. Diligent studying or praying or doing acts of kindness or pursuit of things that are spiritual. That can't give you faith, y'all. You see, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 makes it clear that faith is a gift from God, not because we deserve it or that we earned it. And we could be never worthy to have it. It is not from ourselves. It is from God. It is not attained by our power, our free will. Romans 12 and 3 say, God has given every believer the measure of faith. I'm going to read that again. Because if your faith is feeling weak, if you're feeling like you have no faith, God has given every believer a measure of faith. Right away, two facts are apparent about the measure of faith. First, it is the standard by which we correctly appraise ourselves. See, the measure of faith God gives us allow us to see our true self, see the areas in our lives we need to change, and let us know how we truly and honestly believe about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, and second, it is metered out by God. God issued out. He determined the measure. Because each believer receives his measure of faith by God's allotment, we are prevented from thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. God said the way he created and the way he had his master plan and his plan for salvation and redemption, it's going to never be a chance, a time when someone can boast. And that's the way God planned it. It's a gift. And he measures it out. Faith is simply given to us by God, along with his grace and mercy, according to his holy plan to be able to redeem us and purpose that all sorts of men be saved. And because of that, that's how he gets the glory. Hallelujah, y'all. So that's our background for tonight, and we're going to go and expound on the scriptures right now. I pray that everyone have your Bible, and right now you're in the second chapter of James, and you could go down a little bit to the 14th chapter. And the scripture reads as follows. I'm going to read 14 through 17. And it says, what do it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? 15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and full, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what do it profit? 17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. Now that's James. You got to remember, James didn't believe in Jesus while Jesus was on earth. Well, when Jesus showed himself after the resurrection, he believed. And Jesus was astute learner and teacher of the Judaism religion. And the Judaism religion believed in the law. So when you look at James' writing, you got to use that as a underlining factor. You know, and he made that statement. But we're going to see and look at some more about it in a little while. You see, these scriptures are something taken, is sometimes taken out of context in an attempt to create a work-based system of righteousness. But what is contrary to many, other passages in scriptures. You see, James say we are saved by works. And then here come Paul, who says we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Theologians have struggled with these scriptures over and over. And some people really believe that you are saved by your works. Because in the Muslim religion, they believe in doing works. If they don't believe in Jesus, they believe their works will get them to heaven. Hallelujah. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in Jesus as a Savior. So evidently their works and good deeds will get them to heaven. But Paul comes in and says, no, we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. You see, James is not, and they don't really contradict themselves, but God wanted us to think. If he got our attention right now, either we think in one way or we think in the other, and then we begin to study it and we break it down and put a precept upon a precept, and then we go forth in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost step in and give us illumination and a revelation, we could have an aha moment. You know, if you check it out, James is not saying that our works makes us righteous before God, but the real saving faith is demonstrated by works. Watch this. Works are and never will be the cause of salvation. We are not saved by works. Remember, we were saved before we even knew we had to work. Works are not the cause of salvation, but works are the evidence of salvation. That's why plenty of times you could ask a person who you know that's been saved, and you don't see any works, or you don't see any growth, you don't see any maturity in their life. And sometimes people have asked me, Sister Diane, I'm saved. Now what? Because they're ready to go to the next level. Some people have been saved most of their lives, and they just like they were when they got saved. That's why Peter asked us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's not a destination. The scripture is telling them once we are saved, we then begin to do the work. You know, there are many people who do good works, and all of us may know one or many of them. They do righteous acts, but they have never accepted Christ and the power thereof. They just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. I come to tell you tonight, they're not going to go to hell because of what they did, but they will enter in damnation because of what they never did. They're not going to hell for what they did. They'll go for what they didn't do, is accepting Christ as their Savior. If someone never accepted Christ as their Savior, then he's not their Savior. So then how would they be saved? To them and others who believe that doctrine, They imagine that they will be saved by works. Faith in Christ should always result in good works. The person who claims to be a Christian but live in willful disobedience to Christ has a false, a dead faith, and they are not saved. You have to realize that everybody say, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The scriptures let us know when God, Jesus say, when they come then, he doesn't let them in, and they say, you know me, I prophesied in your name, and I did this in your name, and I did that in your name. He said, I spit you out of my mouth, I don't know you. But I'm talking about true faith, y'all. When you decided to follow Christ, you knew you was a sinner, and you knew you needed a Savior. And you submitted your life unto God. And you did what you can do to please him, and you wanted to obey him. And I know we're going to all fall short. And we're going to all have moments. That's why they had to invent the word for those type of people. It's called a carnal Christian. But I'm talking about true faith in Christ will always result in good works. You see, the person who claimed to be a Christian, they need to realize that they were made new creatures, and there should be some change. Grant you, I'm the first one to tell you, everybody don't change at the same time. Everybody don't change at the same level. God never expected us to. That's why God said he don't expect nothing for you that's beyond your ability. He never set you up to fail. We just read that he measure out the faith. God know how much faith he's given you, and it's enough faith to accomplish the purpose he designed for you to do. See, so nobody ain't going to be able to say nothing, because he's not asking you to your works to be equal up to Mary's work, or your works, my brother, equal up to Paul's work. He wants you to equal up to what he has given you, what he has placed in you, the provisions he has given you to accomplish what he wants. Hallelujah. You see, James and Paul's teachings are not contradicting each other, but their teaching is complementing each other. So look at this. James says faith without works is dead. Paul says faith is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Let's put them together. And it teaches that once we accept Christ as our Savior, we should want to do the work that Christ has assigned to us. So, yes, like James said, should be work. And yet, Paul said, you got to have faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone to receive salvation. And you see, Paul taught that because you got to remember that Paul came at a time after Jesus had resurrected. Paul knew some of his assignment would be to open the door to the Gentiles. And you see, some of this teaching from the Judaism religion was talking about the law. At one time, they said that a person couldn't become a Jew unless they become circumcised and all of that. Paul said, hold up. Wait a minute. Just like in some of our churches today, if you're not, your tithe's not paid up, they look at you maybe as not being saved. If you don't pay the money into the anniversary budget. See, people are always putting things in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to call it the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to deal with it with religion, because religion is man-made. So I'm saying always putting things into the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was written to bring all men unto God. They're always putting one thing after another. Some people believe you can't be saved unless you do all of the work The Bible already told us we can't do the work. Because look, if that was as simple as that, and all of us would have a chance to be saved by our works, why would God have to allow his son to be killed, crucified, beaten, hands in his feet, and his nails in his hands? Why would he have to allow that if the being saved by work was equally as good? You do the math. We are not doing good works to be saved. I want to let you know that. But once we are saved, we should go to work. The work of what? The work of kingdom building. The work necessary for the household of faith. We are one body in Christ with many members. Each has been given gifts by God in faith. See, with faith comes gifts. Hallelujah. So you know when you receive the gift, there must be work to do. God has given us gifts in faith. Gifts is attached to faith to be used in the kingdom here on earth. And remember this, God created us, allowing us to live on earth, which really is the land of the dying, and we be being prepared for the land of the living. God is allowing us here, getting us ready for eternity, because you see, eternity is a prepared place for prepared people. God is molding and shaping and arranging and rearranging us here on earth, hallelujah, so that we can take our rightful place even in eternity. And we spoke the other day about the crowns and the rewards. Jesus said when he comes, people, and he break out of the cloud with a loud trumpet sound. If you look at that scripture, say he's coming with his rewards in his hands. And when Christians die, we are not going to the white, great white throne, of the judgment seat, great throne judgment seat. We're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And if you get to the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to be asking anything about, are you saved, are you not saved, and, you know, this and that. Because if you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you are saved. Because only Christians is going to be there. And they will not be discussing salvation because the gift is already there. God is going to say, what have you done for me lately? God is going to look to see if he could say, servant, well done. Hallelujah. And if we go to verse 18 through 20, and it say, ye, a man may say, thou hast faith, and another man say, I have works. And look what it says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou does it well. And he wanted to tell us, the devil also believed and trembled. And verse 20 said, but will thou know, O man, that faith without works is dead. Now, that's Paul talking. You see, the reason Paul is saying that, because he's speaking to some specific Jews, that after he met Jesus, after Jesus had resurrected and he began to believe the truth, he believed that once you are saved, you should have some change in your life. And each one of you, can you walk in a room and people know who you are? Can your work speak for you about your faith? And can your faith describe why you work? you through the mask. You see, the genuine change comes after salvation, and it does not come before. Hallelujah. The idea of good works producing faith is like expecting fruit before you even planted the tree. If you sit and waiting for your works to produce you some faith, it's just like if you're expecting fruit from a tree that haven't been planted. And you know a tree that's not planted sure can't bear fruit. You see, the idea that true faith may leave a person indifferent and still enjoy sin is just as much as a grievous error. You know, because plenty of times when you teach salvation, save, always save, people think it's easy. And they believe it could give them a license to do it any kind of way. God said when he asks us to do something, and like James talked about, if somebody is hungry and need clothes, and you tell them, all right, go on home, I'll see you later. See, that's misrewards. The Bible tells us to be conscious not to miss our rewards. Instead, what it's really saying is that salvation is by faith alone, but not by a faith alone. When God saves a person, he does not merely save them, but save them from their sins. When God came and got us, he saved us from the penalty of sin, from the affections of the calling on us for sins, and gave us some ways to yield not to the temptation of sin. See, he's doing all of that in the sanctifying process that he's doing with us. And if a person truly has faith, works will result. It really would, y'all. The cause of salvation is faith. Listen at this. The cause, not the cause of salvation is faith. The effect of salvation is doing good work. Again, did I say that good works save? Because there are a huge difference between salvation by work and salvation resulting to good works. Work is important in your salvation, but works don't come to get you salvation. See, once you are saved, then you begin to work. Look at it like this. Once you are saved and you enter the kingdom of God here on earth, your work is how you pay your rent for taking up space. And I have to ask you tonight, and I say in the kingdom of God, where the believers are, the household of faith, all of us should be working towards one another. Jesus said, when I was hungry, did you give me food? He said, when I was sick, did you visit me? You know, when I was in prison, did you look out for me? You know, and all of that. That's the work in the kingdom of God here on earth. So I like to say the work that we do is paying the rent for our taking up space. And I have to ask you now, is your rent paid in full? Or are you carrying a balance on your account? You do the math. And when they say it in the scripture above, even the devils believe that there is one God and tremble. But I came to tell you, they believe that there's one God. They know who Jesus is, because every time he had talked to him, when he called them out of people who was possessed by demons, they called him master. They told him, you know, we know who you are. So God, the demons and the devils know who Jesus is, but guess what? They don't obey him. So there's one thing to know who he is and another thing to obey who he is. Our last scriptures, 21 through 26. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he did offer Isaac, his son, upon the altar, seeing that how faith walked with his work, and by works was faith made perfect. 23, and the scripture was fulfilled that said, Adam believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Ye see then how by works a man is justified, and not faith alone. And we're going to look at that one too. And then he said in 25, lest likewise also, he said, was not Rahab the harlot? You know, Rahab was the one that was a harlot that sat on the wall in Jericho. And when God had sent the 12 tribes to go over to secure the promised land, Jericho was one of the first stops over the Jordan River. And she was sitting on the wall. And they say, was not Rahab a harlot justified by works when she received the messengers? And she sent them another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. That's James. So let's examine that and see where we could go with that. They say, I'll say like this, just as James presented two examples of great faith, he concludes with two examples of genuine faith, Abraham and Rahab. One was a Jewish patriarch whose faith was perfect by his work. The other was the lowest citizen of condemned Gentiles. One was high up, one was low down. Not low down because she was a harlot, but, you know, down the measuring pole, who knew profound faith was dramatized by her work. Let's look at this for a little while. We know Abraham, Father Abraham. You know, Abraham didn't go looking for God. God came looking for Abraham. And if you studied the story, you know Abraham lived with his father. And they lived in a place where they had a lot of idolatry going on. God told Abraham to get thee out of this place and don't take nobody with you. Abraham said, yes, Lord, and he went. See, that's faith, right? But after he believed God, he did the work. He left. And then God found favor in him. And because of his faith, God counted it as righteousness. And then you know righteousness produced grace. So that's how he was saved, because his righteousness imputed grace. Now watch this. Abraham is doing what God tell him to do. But he took his nephew Lot with him, and God was always with him, and God always protected him, and God always did whatever, because that's the prime evidence. Wherever God guides you, he also provides for you. God told him, go. He just left, and God was with him. He didn't have children, and God told him he'll give him a child. But just like many of us, we get impatient. His wife came to him and then said, let's make a deal with the maid. They made a son, and his name was Ishmael. And Ishmael, they say, was born as a slave, because Ishmael's mother was a slave. And she had sex with Abraham, and he had the son, and it was Ishmael. And after they did all of this, you know, couldn't wait on God like we sometimes can't, God allowed Sarah to conceive. Now, you know, that's when all hell broke loose, because Sarah got her own baby, and she don't want the other ones around. But to make a long story short, God told Abraham to take his son and bring him to a place and to sacrifice him. Because of Abraham's faith, he got up and went. He took his son, he took the sticks, he brought whatever you put on the altar. And every time you build an altar, if you start building an altar to God, you have to finish it. So Abraham built the altar, and it was time to put his son on there, and he had to slew him. And when Abraham raised up When he got time, the little boy asked him, "Daddy, where's the sacrifice?" Abraham said, "God's gonna provide." He put the boy up on the altar and he got ready to sling, and God stopped him. But you see, he had faith in God. He believed whatever God asked him to do. That's the faith. Then he did the work. He put him on the altar. He built the altar. He made the fire. You see, so faith and works goes together to make it complete. And then when we look at Rahab wasn't like Abraham, who God was walking with and talking with him and called her his friend. She was on the wall, but she had heard the stories about the Israelites' God and how he had parted the Red Sea and how he had destroyed any army that came up against them, and how he led them through the wilderness for the 40 years. And she heard that, and what? She didn't go to no synagogues because Gentiles couldn't go. But she heard, and she believed. And because she heard, and she trusted that God had the power to do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. And she trusted the God of the Israelites. When they came and was in danger, she hid them. And that's why they say she told them to go another way. See, she believed in the God of the Jews, the Israelites, that no battle he go in, he's going to lose. So she said, when y'all come here to take this city over, I want y'all to remember me. So because of her faith, she did the work, which could have got her killed. She put him in a basket and let him down and sent the people the other way. You see, she heard and she believed and she did the work. So faith and work goes together. You see, no matter whether one of these, they got these two examples, and one had the mature faith, Abraham, and Rahab had the baby-like faith. No matter if your faith is mature or it's spanking brand new, a new convert, a babe in Christ, there must be evidence of that faith. And I'm going to close with this. The point of the analogy between the body and one's faith is that both require each other to be made perfect. Because one without the other is dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone have a comment, a question or concern and want to add to it, that's why I played that song if I was a singer. God has given all of us gifts and a measure of faith. And you have to ask yourself what you're doing with it. You know, he gave us in the Bible the parable about the talents, 1 7 or whatever, 1 5 and 1 2. The one who had 7, he made more. 7 more and 5 made 5 more and 2. The one who had 2 or 1, he buried it. He told the ones that doubled it. That's why I say God is looking for a return on his investment. He said, servant, well done. So you have to ask yourself tonight, what will Jesus say to you? We know that we are saved. But all we producing any works. If everybody in the kingdom working and half of the kingdom is working and half of the kingdom is not, that's why things is always so unbalanced. All of us could do something for one another because that's just the way God planned it. So you won't have the excuse to say, well, you know, I didn't. You know, I couldn't. God's going to say, no. He's going to say, I didn't expect you to send 10 children to college. But you had a degree in reading, and you could have taught the little boy how to read. You see what I'm saying? Everybody got something to give. Everybody has something that they can do. And that's our lesson for the night. And our hour has been well spent. We have a few more minutes. And I would like to hear from you guys tonight. My soul feels full. My spirit is happy. I thank God for allowing me to come before his people. If anyone would like to say anything, you can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. And I'm going to go back to the caller who did the prayer for us, because once you pray, and if you press the button again, I wouldn't know. So I'm just opening your mic, caller, in case you wanted to say something else to us on tonight. Your mic is open.
Praise God. God bless you, woman of God. I enjoyed the word of God tonight. I thank God for how he used you tonight. Amen. It was the word of God. It was a blessing to me. And I just thank God that God has really spoken tonight concerning our faith. And I just believe tonight that based on the word that's been spoken and the faith that we have in God, things tonight on behalf of the listeners that listen in tonight. And as we join our faith together and thank God, amen, for the minister that prayed and believing God for her, that God would just touch her body and keep her whole and undergird her. And to all the listeners tonight, if they're on the air tonight, if they were coming with a prayer request or something, or they need a word from the Lord, I just believe God has something for them on the airwaves tonight as they hear. God bless you.
Thank you so much, my brother. And at this time, since no one has pressed the button, it's time for our benediction. And anybody who's been with me for any, okay, I got a caller, 908-1218.
Yes.
Your mic is open.
Hi, this is Sister Rosemary. I just came in on the line, and it's so amazing because I was in a Bible study earlier. And it was on faith without works is dead. And I come into this Bible study and get the same message. So you know what? God is really, really talking to us, talking to me. You know, faith without works is dead. We got to just do our faith walk. And I appreciate the little part that I did get of this Bible study. I enjoyed it. Amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Rosemary. And y'all have to watch the hand of God. God, the church doors is shut. So God is making us aware that we are the church. They say Jesus is coming back for his church. It's not the church building. It's the individual believers. But we have so many people who say they believe in Christ, that they are Christians, and they don't want to do any work. The Bible said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We got to be about our Father's business. We really do. Caller, your number is 7. Thank you so much, Sister Rosemary. Caller, your number is 715. Your mic is open.
Yes, ma'am. You hear me?
Yes, we can.
I looked at the scripture with Hebrews. With now faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and God gives different
right.
measures. Then I went to Galatians chapter 5 when it talks about the fruit
right.
of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So he gives us the fruit of faith. And then in Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gift of faith. Verse 8 says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9 said, to another faith by the same Spirit. Then it goes on about the gift of healing by the same Spirit, the nine gifts, the nine fruits, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you need your faith increased, you need to get into the word of God and then ask him to give you the fruit of faith, the gift of faith.
Amen. And see, just like I said, if faith guarantees us salvation by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, once we accept Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit came living with us. In Galatians 5:22, he brought the fruit of the Spirit, the nine virtues that you just read. And then the Holy Ghost has the privilege of issuing out the gift, the other nine gifts that you talked about. And they all should work together to good, all together for the good. We should be working those. Are you loving somebody? Are you long-suffering with people and you can't stay and you have a spirit of sharpness with everybody? Faith is one of the fruit of it. Do you have peace within yourself and, of course, peace with others? That's the works of the Spirit as well, y'all. And we have to work them in our lives. That word, the fruit of the Spirit, includes nine virtues, but it doesn't have an S on it because God don't want you to say, oh, I got the first three, and I'm still working on the next six. He wants them to all work together. Hallelujah. And look what he said, and he said, but if somebody comes and you see them and they destitute and you tell them go your way, you got all of this faith and you don't want to help nobody. The Bible say when Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment, Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love your neighbors? Come on, y'all. Are you all into yourself? But yet you say you're a Christian. And you're living in the kingdom of God here on earth. Can you just imagine for a moment if all the Christians here on earth, and why I tell you that we're living in the kingdom of God on earth, because the Bible tells us we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We are living in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not a place, but more of a mentality. You know, that's a place where you have moral standards in place. It's where you don't just do anything because you just want to do it. And then you got the cheeks to say, I'm saved. You know, you got the cheeks to call on God when you have an emergency and expect him emergency to become your urgency. You know, it's just not fair. And God asks us to work, and it's really only reasonable for us. But imagine if everybody just pitched in a little. How would the world be? And God designed it that way. God created the Jews to show the rest of the nations how to live, and the Jews were supposed to do it right and show how good God was to them, and they were supposed to pull him in. But lo and behold, the world starts pulling him out, just like our churches today. We're supposed to be a light on a hill, shining bright. And the Christians in that church supposed to get out and go into the world, and you have a glow about you, and you have standards about you. And when people see you, they want some of it. But that's not happening either. The world is pulling the Christians in the world instead of the Christians pulling the people in church. We got to be about our Father business. We got to get right, church, because one day we have to go home. And then when you stand before God, what would God say to you? And if you're saved and you're truly saved, you're going to get there. But then he's going to examine your deeds and your works. And I pray that our living don't be in vain. And God be able to say, servant, well done. That's it for today. I thank each and every one of you who called in, and I thank each and every one of you for calling back every Wednesday, and the board is lit up tonight, y'all. And it's a good feeling that so many people have came on the line and more people are coming. It's just a good day. And I'm grateful, I'm honored, and I'm blessed. And I'm going to leave everyone with this benediction. And it's so appropriate for the time. It's really appropriate until Jesus come back. But in 2 Peter 3:18, Peter, before he was crucified, and Peter had became mature, because Peter was a mess. And I thank God he don't allow our past to dictate our future. But by the time Peter was going to be martyred for his belief and following of Jesus Christ, he had so much reverence for Jesus, so much faith in God. He understood the works that were set before him, and they got ready to crucify him. He said that he didn't feel himself worthy to be crucified like Christ. And he asked them to turn him upside down. And James wrote the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And Peter, 2 Peter 3:18 is his last writing. And what Peter left with us, out of everything he could have said, he said, I come to tell y'all, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, now and forevermore. God bless you all and keep you. And if it's God's will, we'll meet back again on next Wednesday. God loves you, and so do I. Good night, everybody. God bless.